This podcast was created on Messy. Create your own show today at messy.fm.
Hello, Orlando City fans. I am your host, Gavin Rushnell, and welcome to the Orlando City Supporter... Oh crap. Let me start that over. Hello, Orlando City fans. I am your host, Gavin Rushnell, and welcome to the OC Lions Blog Podcast. That is correct. We have rebranded. We have a whole new website. At the URL of OC or www.oclionsblog.com. Very simple. If you remember the name of this podcast, you can remember the name of our new website. Go on your phone and add it to the home screen if you know how to do that. There will be updates on there almost daily. And, you know, I've got big dreams for this website. I'm thinking apparel. I'm thinking guest speakers that are important to the club. So maybe Louise Muzzy, James O'Connor, maybe a couple players, just some interviews and stuff like that. I would love to have that being done on the website. I have big dreams for this. I have started the blog, obviously, since, you know, it's called OC Lions Blog. The blog is on that website. And if you're interested, go check it out. I've already got 5 or 6 posts on there, so definitely go and give it a look. I would appreciate that. I have also increased my social media. I have really ramped that up. I have created a Instagram account for the OC Lions blog. It is under the name OC_Lions_blog, and it has the logo that you see now with when you're watching the, or I guess listening to the podcast. You can see the logo. That is obviously the profile picture of the Instagram, and I've got a couple posts on there. And then, of course, Twitter, that is changed to the OC Lions blog, and it is now at @OCLLions blog. And that B is capital as well. So yeah, that is it. I have a new website, www.oclionsblog. Go check it out and stick around. Would love to have y'all stick around. I'd also like to have y'all comment. I would love to hear your guys' thoughts on all the games and your thoughts on my thoughts, as I always say. So yeah. Anyways, we can get straight into the game now. Orlando played Memphis 901 FC tonight. I am actually doing it the day of the game, the night of the game, and I will have a blog post up tonight after I finish recording this. So that is something to look forward to, the blog post. But yeah, so let's get through this pretty quickly. I was pretty happy with the lineup. It was kind of weird seeing the 4 center backs in the back. I don't know about you guys, but after I really looked into it, it kind of made sense to me. I wished we did have Smith in there, to be honest, at right back. I've been impressed with Smith. I think he's been kind of underrated this whole season by the fans. I think Smith's been pretty good defensively. He's just not a viable offensive solution. He's not an offensive solution. And a lot of our wingback play ever since we've started as a club has been offensive. So when people look at Kyle Smith, they want to see offense. No, Kyle Smith is a old school defensive right back, and I love that. You know, it isn't a surprise to me when I see him come onto the field when we're leading to just shore up the defense, because that's what he's good at. He's good at defense, and I've been impressed with him greatly, and I'm glad that we have him as a backup right back. I wish we would have played him in this game, but I do also see the thinking in James O'Connor's tactics. Having the 4 center backs in the back allowed the central midfielders to push up the field and not worry about the defense. As you can see, we had an attacking midfield. We have Powers, we have Kleshchen, we had Higuita, our most defensive-minded midfielder. And so the fact that we had that attacking-minded midfield, we needed them to be sure that our defense will be okay. What is the best way to make sure that our defense is okay and to make sure that our goal is safe? Stick 4 center backs in the back. You don't necessarily have to have a right back and a left back per se. You can just have the 4 center backs and say, look, you guys don't have to focus on positioning that much. You can just, you know, be in a spot where you can make a tackle, where you can make a play. And that's exactly what happened all game. I mean, their only goal came off a set piece. It didn't even come from open play. So it worked for the most part. But the first thing I really wrote down from this game is I wished Smith was on the field instead of O'Neal. And it wasn't because O'Neal was necessarily playing bad, but plenty of times in that first half, he had the ball switched over to him on that right side, and he didn't really do anything with it. And what's really funny is I wrote that, and maybe 10 minutes later, 36th minute, 37th minute, he is the one who wins the penalty for us. And he's the one who does the right back's job and gets into the box and wins the penalty. So good job, O'Neal, for proving me wrong, really. Good stuff from him. Kolesnik did slot home the penalty. He went right. And going off of last week's podcast episode, I talked about how I could finally see where we were coming from with all of our with our tactics, with James O'Connor's tactics. I can see what he wanted to do. I can finally lay out what he wanted to do. And ever since then, I see it in almost every single one of our goals. Yet again, we win the ball in the midfield. We move it up on the left side. Mueller gets the ball and he switches it out to O'Neal, who wins at the penalty for us. Last week, I said in the podcast, I could finally see that we try to win the ball in the midfield and break up the field and get a goal. And that's exactly what happened in this instance. And we get a penalty out of it, and it ends up in the back of the net, 1-0. Fantastic stuff. And then in the 43rd minute, the only other big thing that happened in the half, Grinwis up with a fantastic save, amazing save. It takes a deflection very similar to Ranjit Singh's first save ever for Orlando City. I know this wasn't Grinwis's first ever save, but still, the ball is cleared poorly, which we'll talk about in a second. The ball's cleared very poorly by Sané, falls to one of their players, I have no idea who, and he takes a shot, gets deflected, and Grinwis reacts amazingly and pushes it out for a corner. Not only did he react well and get a hand on the ball, but he knocked it away for the corner. I swear I thought it was in. I thought it was in. As soon as that shot came in and got deflected, I was like, oh, crap. And I saw him get a hand to it, and then when it didn't hit the back of the net, I was like, wait, what? I had to do a double take. I looked, I was like, wait a second, that didn't go in the back of the net? How the hell did he do that? At that point, I thought he whiffed it, but no. Or I guess the deflection really did save it. I guess that's what I thought. But no, Adam Grinwis, amazing, amazing, amazing save. And on to the next part. Okay, as I drop my notebook. Let me find my spot, because I know what I said. Okay, there it is. Yes, the shot came from a poor clearance. That is the truth of the matter. We talked about this during the LA Galaxy game. Their goal, if you remember, came off of a poor clearance. We had a lot of poor clearances that game in general. And another poor clearance ends up in a very big chance. That's the word. There you go, Gavin. That ends up with a big chance for Memphis. And I know this isn't the biggest game, but you know, maybe on another day that ends up in the back of the net, and we got lucky it didn't. We got very lucky it didn't. It would have changed the whole scope of the game. 1-1 before halftime, that gives them confidence going into the break. And then, you know, we have to come out and put our stamp on the game, and really come out and say, hey, we're going to win this game. And I don't know if the team would have done that. Luckily, Grinwis comes up massive for us, and we go into the break 1-0 up. 4 minutes after halftime, and they end up scoring anyway. We concede our first goal off of a corner this season, which I love that stat. First of all, we're what, 18 games in, 17 games in? That's our first goal conceded off a corner, whereas last season I think we had like 8 or 9, something crazy like that. So yeah, that is great. But what's really funny is our first goal off of a corner this season came when we had 4 center backs on the field. You would think that it would come when we had a 4-back system, or, you know, we had a really small lineup out there. We had 4 center backs on the field. Shane O'Neal, Sané, Robin Janssen, Dijon. 4 center backs on the field. And their 6'4" center back goes up. And to be honest, it's amazing delivery. It's amazing header. I mean, like, there's nothing that we necessarily could have. I mean, I don't know. The delivery was very good. It's not like someone's man was lost. He just overpowered them and the ball ended up in the back of the net. 1-1 at this point, and forgot to say something. I guess it doesn't really matter that much. I just forgot that after we scored, Memphis were all over us. And I guess that kind of carried into the second half a little bit. But after we scored, it was all Memphis. And it really showed in that big save by Grinwis. But after their goal, it turned around and became all Orlando. And when we went up and we scored, 54th minute, 5 minutes after their goal. Yet again, the same thing happens. This time, though, we get extremely lucky because if we're all honest with ourselves, Higuita fouled the shit out of their center midfielder, and the ref got it wrong. VAR probably would have called that back because it was a big instance. So we're lucky VAR was not in this competition. But still, we win the ball in midfield. We break up the field. And that ball ends up in the back of the net. I mean, it's almost ever since I noticed it in the Montreal game, every single goal I feel like has been from that. If you think of all the goals in the Montreal game, they're all from winning the ball in the midfield, breaking up. Maybe not the penalty. The penalty came from a fantastic Akindele strike on goal. But all the other goals, though, have come from us winning the ball in midfield, going up the field, and scoring the goal. And that's what happened again. We just got kind of lucky that the foul wasn't called. As for the finish, I don't think the commentators really gave it enough credit. That was amazing skill from Kleshchen. He really did the Mesut Ozil shot. If you don't really know what that is, look it up in the YouTube. Look it up in the YouTube. Look it up on YouTube. I sound like some 75-year-old man. Look it up in the YouTube. Well, anyways, look up Mesut Ozil, like skill shot or whatever. What he does is he shoots the ball into the ground and makes it bounce and shoots it straight into the ground, makes it bounce. That makes it much more difficult to the goalkeeper to read the flight of the ball and to make a save. And the commentators are sitting, one of the Memphis commentators sitting there saying, I think the goalie could have done better with that. Kleshchen's skill on the ball makes that 10 times harder for the goalie than it looks. The ball flies past him after a bounce. It's got some curve on it. Absolutely nothing wrong with the keeper there and everything right with Sasha Kleshchen there. So definitely, if you're not really sure what I'm talking about, look up Mesut Ozil of Arsenal skill shot. And that's what he does. He shoots it into the ground, makes it bounce over the keeper just to make it more difficult to save. Let's see what's up next. A little bit later, the 70th minute, Janssen gets a tap in. It was a good header from Kleshchen, a great cross by great corner by Mueller. Really lifted it over everybody, dropped it on Kleshchen's head, who heads it straight at the goalkeeper. This almost looked like a move from the training ground because it goes way over everybody. Kleshchen heads it literally straight at the keeper, and it looked like Coutinho was choreographed. Patino ran straight at the goalie, tried to flick it over himself. Instead, it hits off the defender, falls to the space in the box, and Robin Janssen taps it in for his first Orlando City goal. So that was good to see. 3-1, that really put the game to bed. We had a couple subs after. We had Asquez on for Higuita in the 76th minute. And I kind of joked when I was writing, I wrote that we had five center backs on the field against a USL side. I was like, well, like, how does that make any sense? We're supposed to be the better team, and we are the one with five center backs on the field. But, I mean, we're holding the lead, and, you know, we started with four. So, you know, just being stupid. And but it was overall, it was good to see Asquez get some minutes. In my blog post, one of them today, actually, I outlined just my thoughts on every single player's salary in the team. And Asquez was on 460-something thousand, I believe, after bonuses. And I did think that was a lot for someone who doesn't really play, similar to Coman being on 450,000 and not playing at all either. But I know he was injured, and I know he was playing a little bit. But since he came back from injury, he hasn't had any minutes, and he just came on. So overall, I thought he was pretty decent when he came on. He had a couple touches. He didn't look fully into it. He didn't look like, I mean, like, I will, to be honest, we're up 3-1. I'm sure James O'Connor just said, look, don't run around like an idiot. Don't re-injure yourself. Just go out there, keep your position, and see this game out. So big ups to Asquith for doing his job there. And then Mendoza, the OCB prospect, coming on for Did he come on for Mueller? I think or Patino. He came on for Patino. That's right. And you know, I wish James O'Connor would have given him maybe 7 or 8 minutes and not the 45 seconds he had. I know it was, I don't know, it was just to give him his debut, I guess, but I don't think it would have hurt Patino's feelings if Mendoza came on for him. I really don't. I think that's why he waited so long. He didn't want to hurt his feelings. Patino didn't really have the best of games, but when it's 3-1 and you have complete control of the game, throw on the youngster. Give him 7, 8 minutes to show you what he's got. Instead, you threw him on and he showed you that he can stand in the box. He can get the ball out wide once and put the ball in the box. And that's all he did. He just got the ball out wide once and he put it in the box. So I could have done that. Like, give him more time. That's all I'm saying. But yeah, so that's about it for the end of the game. My player ratings, I have given a Grinwis an 8 out of 10. He was great tonight with a bunch of saves. He looked extremely confident. And I personally am extremely confident that he's the next goalkeeper for this league. And it's hard because we have three very good goalkeepers, in my opinion. We have Brian Rowe, who is really showing everybody his LA Galaxy form and, you know, really stepping into it, really realizing that, hey, I am a good enough keeper to play in this league week in and week out and not just be a backup. And he was really a diamond in the rough. You know, the rough of the free agency, we gave him a chance. And if you look at it, we were paying him $98,000 a year comparative to some other goalkeepers. Joe Bendick, I remember, was getting a lot more than that. I'm pretty sure he was on $300,000 or $450,000, something like that. So, you know, it's great to see that we have this diamond in the rough goalkeeper. And then we have Ranjit Singh. He looked very confident in his game against Seattle. And I have heard great things about him from his time at Louisville FC. And he had that amazing save against Seattle. He was unlucky not to keep a clean sheet against Seattle. And yeah, so nothing wrong with Ranjit Singh. He looks like a promising prospect. And we have Adam Grinwis, who looks very confident, looks very assured of himself, looks like he is supposed to be there. And he makes saves too. All three of them making big saves recently. Brian Rowe against Montreal, Adam Grinwis in this game, and Ranjit Singh versus Seattle. So it's really a big dilemma. I don't know what we're going to do. I feel like one of them's going to get traded away. And my hope would be for Brian Rowe next season to be sold because, you know, he's older and Ranjit Singh and Grinwis are the future, unfortunately. And I want them to really start getting some game time. You know, experience is great and all, but if we make the playoffs with Brian Rowe in goal this season, then Brian Rowe has done his job. And I think he would merit a move. I could see Brian Rowe going to one of the poor teams, maybe a New England Revolution or a San Jose Earthquakes. Although Vega has been pretty good this season for them, but maybe New England Revolution or maybe Colorado Rapids, something like that. And, you know, doing what he did for Orlando. But I think he has shown that he can make it in this league. And I don't think he'll become another free agent. I think he would want to get picked up by somebody. So good job to Brian Rowe, but I'm really hoping Grinwis and Ranjit Singh are our future and that we don't lose one of the two of them within the next year or so. So anyways, tangent over. Grinwis, 8 out of 10. O'Neill, 6 out of 10. Sané, 6 out of 10. Janssen, 7 out of 10. Gave him a little bit extra for that goal. DeJohn, 6 out of 10. Powers, 7 out of 10. He was pretty good tonight, especially in the first half. The second half, you could see that Memphis were doing everything in their power to stop the supply to the Powers. So good job to them. They did that in the second half. The coach really did get the supply to stop. but that still didn't overall affect the game. We still ended up winning anyways. Higuita, 7 out of 10, another great performance from him. Kleshchen, 7 out of 10, two goals, and I guess an assist? Would you count that as an assist? He got the header that ended up deflecting off of the defender. I guess I'd give that assist to Patino because he was in the area. I don't know. I don't know how assists work like that when they're murky. Maybe they just don't give it to anybody. But yeah, Kleshchen, 7 out of 10, two goals anyways. Fantastic performance from him in front of goal at least. And he looked very assured of himself in that midfield. He has a lot of quality, and he just had too much quality for Memphis. Let's see. Mueller was my man of the match, 8 out of 10. He was everywhere today. He really did so many good things. I just wish he had a better end product, and that's all that's missing. All that's missing from Mueller's game is end product, and once he gets end product, he could be a 15, 17 goal season striker. And he, again, is our future. He is our now. He is our future. He is our present. He is our future. Oh, sorry. I've got the Seattle and Portland game on, and Portland just took a penalty and hit the crossbar. I believe that was Portland. Yeah, it was. They just hit the crossbar. Portland's 2-1 up right now, by the way, if you're wondering. Seattle. Seattle hit the crossbar. You know, they're the same colors. Seattle hit the crossbar. They're wearing their black and pink shirts. That's crazy, though. Portland is 2-1 up right now. But anyways, yeah, Mueller's our now and our future, our present and our future. So I'm going to stop saying that. I've said it 10 times. I just, once he gets that end product down, and I don't know when it's going to happen, it might happen later this year with Nani really helping him in that department, or maybe it starts happening next year. But I could see him overtaking Dwyer next season. I think Dwyer will stay this season unless we use our money on a new DP striker, then I could see him leaving. But if Mueller really steps up his game at the end of this season and has a good offseason, I could see us saying, you know what? We will take a boatload of money for Dwyer and we'll reinvest it into the squad somewhere else. Maybe at center back, maybe where it needs to be made. I don't know. We're looking good. We're looking good right now, which is something you haven't really been able to say. Our future's looking good. We have a very deep squad that I don't think a lot of people recognize. When you think about it, we have good options at right back. We have good options at center back. We have good options at left back. Amazing options in goal. Our midfield seems to be stacked with Will Johnson, Higuita, and Mendez. They are forcing Yuri Rosell on the bench. Asquez is in the mix for center back and midfield. And then at strike, the forward is where we are our weakest, the forward three. We have Mueller, who just needs end product. We have Nani, who is freaking brilliant. And we have Akindele, who just is in the right place at the right time. And we have Dwyer, who is misfiring and just has a little niggle with a hamstring injury. So, yeah, we're looking good for the future. We don't have particularly a super old squad. So, you know, if this season isn't the season that we get playoffs, I really hope the front office doesn't flip everything over and burn it to the ground, because we have a squad. We have a playoff squad. We just need it to work, and I think it will work. I think this season's our season. The second half of the season will really show what this squad is made out of, and it's looking good for now. Another tangent over. Patino, 4 out of 10. I thought he was extremely poor today. He didn't really do much when he got the ball. He didn't do a lot with it. 4 out of 10 for him. Akindele, I'm going to give him a 5 out of 10. Both of them put in a decent shift. They worked hard. I mean, Patino and Akindele were seen running around working hard. But they just weren't amazing. They were just average. And that's why I've given them 4 and 5 out of 10. As for the subs, we already talked about Asquez, 5 out of 10. Oh my goodness, excuse me. And Mendoza not available because he was really on the field for like a good 45 seconds. On to the game's takeaways. The first takeaway is clearances are still a big problem. There's not a lot you can take away from fixtures like this. You're playing against a lesser team. They are going to work hard. You just have to make sure that you have more quality, and that's what we did. We had more quality. But one thing you can notice is our clearances are still a problem, especially shown in that sequence where Sané cleared the ball and it ended up with forcing Grinwis into a big save. Sorry, I'm still watching this game. Portland had a big chance to make it 3-1. But yeah, clearances are still a big problem for us. Sané has been guilty of that, and we really need to work on that. I think James O'Connor really needs to work on our clearances. A second takeaway, why can't we close down crosses? This is something that has bothered me for a while. I can see the thought process on it. I can see the thought process. Do not close down crosses at full speed, because you will get beat in behind, and that will create an even bigger chance for the opposition. I can see that. But we sit there and stare at crosses. We let opposing teams cross the ball so easily. Crosses are free chances if you don't go and close them down. It's unnecessary. We have to close down crosses. At least get closer. I fully understand the tactics behind it. You don't want to sprint out, and you don't want to get beat one-on-one with a fast pacey winger, or just in general. I mean, that's kind of what happened against Seattle, where they played their triangle play, got in behind, and got a really good goal out of it, because that's exactly what happened. We sprinted out to stop a cross, and they got through us, kind of. But we have to get closer. We have to get closer. We're just staring at cross. If you rewatch the game, look at how many times they get the ball in wide areas. If I were a coach going against Orlando City, I would tell my players, get down on the wings, one of you get in the box, two of you get in the box, and we're going to cross the hell out of this ball, because they're not going to stop it. They're going to allow it to happen, and we're going to force them to come out and stop it, and that's going to open up space in the middle. And that's when you do your 1-2s. But I would cross the hell out of the ball. I hope no opposing teams are listening to this podcast. I mean, Orlando City fans barely even listen to this podcast, so that doesn't even really matter. But if I were going against Orlando, I would cross the hell out of the ball, and we need to fix that. We need to fix that big time. And then my final takeaway is that this was just a professional performance, and we got the job done. We got the job done. That's basically it for the third takeaway. We had more quality. We got lucky. Luck is in everything that, in terms of sports and cup competitions, luck is involved. And we got a little bit lucky on that second goal, but I think we had enough quality to finish this game out in front. And also in terms of cup competitions and luck, the draw for the competition is tomorrow at 10 a.m. If you are listening to this, you probably already know what the draw is. But yeah, so keep an eye on that tomorrow, 10 a.m. I believe Open Cup Twitter is doing it. It's at Open Cup. I will be watching. It'll be before I have to leave for work. So actually, let's look really quickly on the MLS app around the league of what the results are. So the game I'm watching right now, Portland Timbers versus Seattle Sounders. Seattle's at home. A lot of chances for both sides. Neither of them are really taking them, though, especially Seattle with a penalty that caused me to stop thinking for a good 20 seconds. They are losing 2-1. Portland is up 2-1. But let's look at all the results of the fourth round of this Open Cup. We have, if my MLS app would stop fucking up, that would be fantastic. All right. Why is it doing this? All right, where are we? Come on. MLS regular season. I'm sure you guys love this. Oh, what a save. Holy crap. That was a good save by the Portland goalkeeper. Where is this? There it is. Sorry, guys. Columbus Crew beat Pittsburgh 1-0. New England Revolution beat Red Bulls New York 3-2. I actually watched that game. New England Revolution were down to 10 men, and they came back and won. So that was a very good game. If you watched that, it was a great view for the neutral, which I was. So big ups to New England. That was a great result. Houston beat Austin 3-2, the MLS newcomers in the next season. Are Austin coming next season? I believe so. Maybe two seasons with Nashville. Maybe is it Nashville then Austin? Or are they both coming? I don't know. So many teams nowadays. But yeah, Houston beat Austin 3-2. St. Louis do the cup set, as everybody likes to call it. 2-1 over Chicago Fire. Not a surprise there. Chicago have had a rough season yet again. LAFC beat RSL on the road 3-0. San Jose Earthquakes beat Sacramento Republic 4-3 in a thriller by the looks of it. Let's see. DC United beat Philadelphia Union, who won it last season, I'm pretty sure. Did Philadelphia win it? I think Philadelphia won it last season. 2-1, so that's the end of their short reign as defending champions. NYFC beat North Carolina FC 4-0. FC Cincinnati score late against Louisville City, James O'Connor's old club, 2-1. FC Dallas kills OKC. What is that? Anybody know? Is it Oklahoma City? OKC Energy. Oh, why is that print so small? I don't know. I don't know. Everything just says OKC. Let's read the match thing. Who is OKC? Southern Methodist University. Huh. I'm going to look this up because this is really confusing me. OKC Energy. Where are they from? Seriously? Oklahoma City Energy. Okay, so I'm not that stupid. I'm just a little stupid. OKC Energy lose 4-0 to FC Dallas. Minnesota destroys Sporting KC 4-1. We beat Memphis 3-1. New Mexico United, I don't know if y'all saw that, defeated Colorado Rapids on penalties 4-2. Colorado was home. I believe they got a red card around the 70th minute. And then New Mexico scored in the 94th minute of regular time, 90+4. And then win on penalties. LA Galaxy is killing Orange County Football Club. Unfortunately, that was the little story that they were airing at halftime today. Orange County FC beating a USL team when they are an amateur team. So that was kind of cool to see. 3-0, unfortunately. LA Galaxy are defeating them. And Portland's winning 2-1. And then the last game is Atlanta versus Charleston Battery at 7. They had to switch locations because Atlanta United are little bitches and didn't want to play on a bad surface like we had today. Did y'all see the holes out there? I mean, it wasn't terrible, but I saw a picture of Charleston Battery surface. It looked like they just had a couple little sand pits. Nothing crazy, just a little bit of sand here and there. Atlanta's just a bunch of bitches. So they're going to play at Mercedes-Benz Stadium because they're spoiled assholes. But yeah, who I want to get? Obviously, I want to get New Mexico United or what was the other set? Upset. St. Louis Football Club. I would love to get either of them. Or, you know, San Jose, I wouldn't have a problem with that, or New England Revolution. I think that'd be a pretty good showdown for the round of 16. But you know who we're probably going to get. We're probably going to get LAFC or NYCFC or LA Galaxy or the winner of the Portland-Seattle game. We're going to get a tough team, in my opinion. And to be the best, you got to beat the best is what they say, except for the case of Manchester City, who... to be the best in the FA Cup and League Cup, they had to beat literally the easiest team from every single selection. It was like they almost picked them themselves. I mean, who was their League Cup semifinal opponent? Was it Rotherham? They played them 2 times and they battered them 8-1 or something like that. I mean, like it was a joke. They did not play the best teams at all until Chelsea in the final of the League Cup. Yeah, the League Cup. then they played Watford in the end of the in the final of the FA Cup and beat them like 6 or 7 nil. Like, it was ridiculous. It wasn't hard at all. In my opinion, I think if Manchester City if Manchester City had tougher opponents, they wouldn't have won the league, because they would have had to focus on those tougher opponents and they would have slipped up, and maybe Liverpool wouldn't have slipped up, but you never know. And I don't really care, because I'd rather Manchester City win the league, because they cheat and buy their way to success. That was a lot. Okay, that is looking like it's going to be it. All of you, enjoy your night. Orlando City won 3-1. That is 2 back-to-back away wins. Nothing sad about that. I'm not mad about that at all. It was great. I love it. It is rare. I am going to be happy about it. And I'm going to be happy when all of you go and check out my new website, oclionsblog.com. Instagram is OC_lions_blog. You will recognize the logo pretty quickly. I have also commented a crap ton on the Orlando City Instagram page. And let me know your thoughts on my thoughts in the blog post that comes out within the next hour, as I'm going to start writing it in the next couple of minutes. You guys have a wonderful night, and I will see you on the next podcast.